which would be outlined in the next few minutes. I also want to welcome and acknowledge any visitors that were guests this day, found that you are here today. They are very welcome. And the regular people that always work with us when we have a meeting, they are always welcome. Also, to say, I do want to apologize for seeking arrangements, especially to the members of the portfolio committee, because we are just one family today because of the nature of the organization. So we try to ensure that the members of parliament are seated next to others, and our officials are actually in their own benches. So the arrangement is such that we have to be in this way in sitting. Sorry for that. Actually, I must also acknowledge the technical support of the portfolio committee, secretary and your team. I'm always impressed with the way you want to continue improving. I understood that couldn't get the new in our normal state, but they made it a point that we think we have a comfortable day. And also, we do have less of the problems of communication, communications, etc., as well as documents. As long as documents arrive, you know, that we do get it. And also, I'm sorry, but we try to buy the time when we go out for overtime and when we have meetings. Your attendance has made this committee to do this way. Hi, Marcy. I do want to acknowledge that. And also to say why we are expecting. We will remember that in our first session, we did receive, including normal process, a petition of the community members in the honorable water constituency. I hope I'm correct. That the way issues that they were complaining about, which landed in the parliament, and as a result, it was supposed to be processed in the manner of actually processing all petitions. But knowing the state and knowing how much work we do, because some of the work we deal with is not planned, but we respond to priorities that continue to come into our operations, despite having an approved program that we have, but we have to respond to other new priorities. But for Kekesi Kekosi, one of the workers was informed in terms of acknowledging the receipt of the correspondence as well as inviting him to inform him that the committee is aware. And the committee will do everything to respond to the petition. The department was informed time after. Even last week they were ready, wanting to finish this business, but we didn't have space to accommodate them. So they do have all the responses today. That's why one of the members we are having today. So in fact, we will only get this today. our portfolio is great. I will then, in this way, no time, and allow the procedural routine to be done by our secretary and to ensure that we are correct, that the mood is not present, we have been informed why, and then we will proceed. The agenda is very short, and those who will go to other committees, and by that time, okay. Thank you very much. Can I take over?
Good morning, Honorable Chairman, and Honorable Member. The motion is any apology for the members of the personal committee, but I have two apologies from the minister who informed the committee that she won't be with us today in this meeting because of the scheduled public meeting she's attending. She might come if it's agenda maybe. Another one is short, the Deputy Minister, also the Director of Companion, Zuru. She indicated that she won't be with us today in Saturday as well. She will be with her. So those are the two apologies. Just asking the intent of the Quorum of the Committee can proceed with the work of Parliament because you are 50 plus so by the Quorum, we can take decisions of the committee.
Those are the apologies, and then can I then proceed to the business of the day? Because that 2+1 is actually what I was appreciating, that we have never been found running around looking for additional. Our members are very, very diligent and keen to keep the department on their toes. There's no need to actually request them to inform us who they are, and we can identify the DG is still active. There are no rules that can do a successful in your endeavor. So far, we still have the acting, and therefore, we know the delegation by him, but also that my presence to actually lead this meeting. Your presence as an accounting officer is enough to allow us to do our business. You are on the floor. Okay, can I acknowledge or our song for a very long time. And the last recommendation was that the chairperson must take this with the upper status that deals with such a situation. We have since made appointments because as it means one-to-one basis to inform over what the portfolio committee was recommending. So I might be able to say thank you, but this is a process issue. Your concern is that the concern of all the members, and we have debated in this platform because that's where we are out in the presence of the minister. Because the minister is the one who delegates some of the work she's supposed to her deputy and the law. Now, she is also responsible because the work, as you say, that she does, she needs to account here. Because that's what she's actually doing. She's not supposed to account to the minister. Because the minister officially delegated issues of our very important stakeholders and categories in terms of our work, that of people living with disabilities. So all the other transformation processes in promoting their dignity is something that the committee wants to actually deal with. And please satisfy that we are doing some work for our marginalized community. So I take your point very seriously, and I will try by all means to find those who must respond in this manner. Thank you very much. And I think the time is for Mr. Lagan to take us on board. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, colleagues, good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity. We know that as the Honourable Chair indicated that we are not in the committee. Honourable Members, I would like to introduce the colleagues that we have invited from Housing Province based on the petition that we received from Honourable Water that is more or linked to Housing Province. We have the DDG that is leading the team, Mr. Kabatia. Mr. Kabatia is responsible for both social services and community development. Housing Province, and with him is Mr. Kevin Kima, who is responsible for NPO funding in the province. That is Mr. Kevin Kima. Next time, I think when they come, there will be a woman. Honorable Chair, we did look into the petition that we received from the community. And we did, when we look at it as the department, we acknowledge the critical or historical that has been played by both government and the NPO sector in enriching the lives of our vulnerable people, that is within our community. Historically, we have been working together all these years. And then we must also acknowledge the fact that there is a critical role that was played in particular by the NPO sector throughout the years. And we do also acknowledge the importance of the partnership between government and the NPO sector. I must indicate that this is also informed by our constitutional, legal, and international obligations that we work together, even in terms of the development of policies and programs that are central to the mandate of the department. So these collectively, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, they have contributed immensely towards the creation of an enabling environment for the effective delivery of social welfare services practices in our communities. We have looked into how we can approach the petition in order to respond accordingly, and then instead, as national, we provide the high level overview of how we fund the NPOs, starting from the registration, as well as how we fund them, and how they are funded across the provinces. And then we will then zoom into the housing coping to be more specific in terms of the petition that has been forwarded to us, so that we are more relevant to the needs of the honorable member. But when you look into the analysis, you see the trends of the challenges in terms of how we respond, in terms of the funding and other challenges. How we have structured our presentation, Mr. Nechibale will cover the overview in terms of our national department, and then just a few slides, and then we'll zoom into the housing COVID, then we'll cover housing, and then zoom into the enrolling, the Islamic NGOs as the honorable member position. Thank you very much. I want to hand over to Mr. Nechibale, who will start stage to the NPO registration.
Thanks very much, DG and Chairperson and one of the members. I will go, I think, with the presentation approach. I'll just go straight to the areas. Let's first, one of the things that we need to do as part of the contextual of our community is to look at the NPO sector in South Africa as a whole. Currently, we have about 176,000 NPOs that have been registered in that manner. The majority of them are for the Voluntary Association. Of these NPOs that we have, 68,000 of those are to the and this is the UN classification in terms of what we have. Now we can zoom into social services breakdown. Of the 68,000 that we have in the country, those that deal with services to children are in majority. That includes ECDs and others. There are over just under 44,000 of those NPOs. And the province, this is how it's distributed throughout the province. You can see from this decade up to this decade, the total becomes 68,000. I just indicated the whole classification as it is. The issues of funding the of NPO and DSE, you are aware that from 2004 we have been implementing the policy of financial awards, which was implemented. There have been some challenges that we also experienced that we want to share with you, which also in terms of the disparity in the funding, different approaches and the non-compliance of the sector and the management part of it. And that prompted us to come to a solution to say, based on these challenges, as a department, we need to look at that as appropriate. DSD currently is finalizing policies, the broad sector funding policies, which is informed also by Treasury guidelines. We are also having a state of civil society organization partnership model. Of importance, the last one, which is the DST financing model. That comes from different areas, one mentioned by the KPMG and other Nawelo case, which is informed in terms of the norms and standards that we have. Those are the things that we currently are doing. But it will be not fair if we don't look at DST nationally. In this country, we have got budget that we have been allocated for treasury. I'm presenting to you the budget that has been provided to us, which we have historically. This is the budget allocation that we have, but of importance, 17-18, just over 7 billion of the total 19 billion goes to NPO funding nationally. This is the allocation that we have that comes from Treasury. Of this, just over 30% of the budget goes to social welfare, children, families, and SRG services. This is the total percentage of that that goes to that service. The south area, you will find that if you look at this for 17-18, the majority of the money goes to Isili, and followed by services to children, and then it goes to other persons, etc., etc. This is how the distribution of the program that we are planning at the national level. The percentage share, if you look at the percentage share of that which goes to the province, of the 7 billion that we transfer to NPOs, the majority of that percentage of the programs is mostly, the majority of them is CPCD, which goes to, if you look at that level, I can show that the percentage is about 10% of them, followed by, and this is the problem, all the problems is about 10% in terms of the ECB, services to other persons, device, but if you can look at the child care and protection, all of them, the percentage is about 6%. Care and services to families is limited lesser. The per capita of the 7 billion that we transfer to NPO, the services that we fund in the welfare sector, if you exclude ECD and social care, and you look at per capita, per poor child, if you look at that graph there, per poor child and per child generally, the average is per child is 245 rand, and for the poor child is 309 housing needy, followed by nursery kid, and etc. etc. But if you go deeper, the ones that transfer to NPOs, I think that's in the 370-80, that amount is just about 7 billion that we are given to NPOs. And of these 7 billion, which one goes to children and families? If you look at 2017-18 budget, the blue graph there, 4 billion goes to children and families. And just under 2 billion goes to social welfare services. And just under 1 billion goes to restorative services. And the rest goes to development and research as a whole in the country, in South Africa. So this is how when we distribute the money and analysis that we do with treasure becomes that. Transfer to NPO for children, you can see, if you go to 2018, the blue one, it's just under. That's under 3.9 billion that you get in all nine provinces that are dedicated to that. Based on this national makeup, we engage treasure and say let's analyze, because we are also high needs. Service, the need is more, poverty is increasing, but the budget remains the same. We analyze the budget with treasury and organizations and look at our base at 2016-17. On the analysis in this slide, year-on-year growth in expenditure in the province. It's just the average gives us on inflation 6% increase on that, which is not so high. If you look at the total expenditure per capita, how much do we spend per based on the budget allocated? It gives us you will see in the areas that are back at the one that's colored that in the orange. You can see the capital for 2016-17 budget that the average is 339. But if you look at Northern Cape, on the historical budget allocation they are high. We look at Swazi Natal and Mpopo, they are low. We also look at the percentage deviation from the national average per capita. If you look at Swazi Natal, they are completely unfunded in terms of that. More people that are poor, the money is already followed by Mpopo and living to the Western Cape at 0.6%. This is the analysis that we did with Treasury and other women to look at that, which means this underfunding. And we ask questions, Treasury, if we have the funding and to do the rest of the things in the country and address all the challenges, what is the gap? The gap to a scenario one is that instead of 7 billion, we need to be getting minimum set at 16 national average per capita. If we have to increase the capita living service delivery, we need daily 80 billion. If we put 25% above the 2016 national average per capita to do our work appropriately, we need to be getting 22 billion, and et cetera, et cetera. So, based on this, honorable members, it's just a clear indication that the total budget that we have, when we analyze it, not alone, we sit down with Treasury, we look at what are the gaps from status case, from Nawongo case, KPMG, and other things. If we need to implement our programs per norms and standards, the budget that we are allocated is very, very low. And I think that indicates. So from the national point of view, the picture that I've indicated is that. So I will really, I will allow Pauline to take us through, and I think also addressing the questions that are being raised, that they raised specifically to our housing. But I think we need to have a national picture in terms of how these funds are used. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I haven't lost my power in order to but yes, I know we are going to give over to you when we can say our food. And I just wanted to find from the honorable members that must we continue or keep their presence and the rest of the presentation. I acknowledge them. Our business should be continued, finish the presentation, because that class is now finished. We're going to zoom in to problem. Followed by who honored the water. The floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. My question to the question of the policy instrument. Can we begin the change in the policy by policy? And how far is it? Because my work is a policy for social development. Every time when we have, we do the issue that we have last policy instrument. And when we take issues of poverty outside the community, everyone is having to be. So for us, can really bring us to the table to tell us how far is that policy going to go, so that maybe we can have an issue and a community, especially on the issues of the public of the issue, and we know that the energy is going.
Well, can we keep your question for later, because my third question was that remember what has to continue and finish the whole presentation and ask questions later, or can we ask questions now? If I have a question already in the box, we can't want to ask questions. What are the
Chair, I just wanted to ask a question of clarity before we might clear before starting.
Then we ask that question too. Yes, let's take those questions. And this is the question the other members might want to ask those questions now.
fall from the nation. But for now, let me not mobilize questions, but rather acknowledge one of the colleagues who has already asked a question to get it from them. I was asking if Nagali has got the question properly and then to answer. That is to answer. Then ask your question so that then he can ask voice a number of questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, so it's a page count number, so I'm just going to go to the title. The title of this page is Total Provisional Social Development Allocation. Right? I want to talk to that page and the other page where you talk about what would ideal funding or how you should increase funding. Scenarios to move to great equity. I want to talk to those two pages. Make sure I'm correct, right? So on the total provision social development allocation page, you say this is the current allocation of funding for social, for child and family, right? And you say in 2017-18, 7.2 billion has been allocated, am I correct?
Are those amounts also reflected within these figures, or is it separate? Let me now allow you to vote. Question.
The first one is in yes, the policy on financial award is ready, it's going to be ready after this after the first quarter. The request is that maybe we should brief the performance committee to agree with that. This is in the process of consulting now. We welcome, I think the DG will agree that we brief the honorable member. The second question is on this slide here. This is the total allocation. This is the allocation. The total allocation is in 9 provinces. They see that. But Eastern Cape get that, or this continent get that, all that. But the minimum set as if you use the capital expenditure in terms of what we need to spend per herd, we were supposed to be getting 18.4 billion. But if we use 25% above the norm, we should be getting 22 billion complete allocation per province, not necessarily to specific for children. If we lose the minimum set at that level and use the Northern Cape per capita, you realize that Northern Cape per capita was 687 per head, which is different from KwaZulu-Natal, which was less than 339. The average is 339. Now, if you use per capita expenditure, this is what Treasury does when you want to spend the money there. In terms of the people that you are reaching, how much are you reaching? How much does it cost? They always say you spend 10 cents. They will tell you that you spend 10 cents, electricity, whatever. So when they analyze that, and say the rightfulness of us to be allocated funds from this departure here, we were supposed to be given that if we are just ahead. But if we do the capital expenditure using the upper hand, which is 637, which is not okay, the budget that DSP national is supposed to get for provinces is supposed to be 32 billion. This is legal. If you look at the norms and standards implementation, goes to over 181 billion, so it's not bad. But this is just using the budget that we have, what we spend, what we're supposed to spend for poor child, what we're supposed to spend for child in different provinces. This is what it means. It means that the disparity is in that.
Okay, I think that is understood, and I think 24 two questions. Can we go through, because this petition has really opened a can of worms in terms of the 100% transformation system with social development. Social development is just a very young department, and not much has been done to transform. I agree with what I have reported and the response to call. What it tells us? It tells us that we are dealing with this and we react when our people complain. But the bigger picture is that even those who complain are still better off in terms of what is made available to them. And also, if you look at the figures that the by investing, it's exclusive of the funds that we give to our people in the form of grants. Grants are not part of what gets transferred. And when these NGOs were funded in this manner, there was no transfer. What does that mean? It means we need a bigger forum in order to brief about the draft as requested by the honorable member, as well as sitting under one group
with the MPOs and NGOs and find a niche as to what are they supposed to do. Because there's so much that has come in. Honorable, you said talks about digital. Which then is additional to what they another is coming from another source of value. Adding to the billions that is supposed to be given to those people. For me, I have understood over time that the government has continued to shrink, but the politicians are not moving in order to find more ways of quality reaching out to the needy ones. When the competition is about development, creation of jobs, and that, there's also another need, more social workers, more education, more education as dynamics continue. So I think you brought us a bigger picture that the department must work on for these to be tabled and for the beneficiaries and stakeholders to be part of that. And I would wish you that the department doesn't bring speakers from all over, especially universities, academicians, and so on, but also the politicians to have a platform to say something. Because I think it's very clear that we need the old order in a new order. So I will then allow you to answer one of the previous questions of the EPWP.
Thank you. Thanks, Chapter, for the answer to now, but just for the reason I hear, remember it comes from the public works. I will just give you the not part of it.
I just want to get some clarity because, it seems to be a big issue that falls under us, the 0 to 4. And a lot of money is going towards ECD. And I know the ECWP through the care sector focuses on ECD. And as far as I understand, that money is sorry, that meeting yesterday. So the money is actually paid by us for ECD 0 to 4. And I just wanted to know is that this amount of money or is that money separate?
The ECD, you have seen that the highest in terms of the transfer, which is just 4 billion that is spending. But if you are talking about the issues of EPWP, EPWP is a conditional grant. So it's not the implementation of the ECD completely is part of the budget. Yeah. On if you say the subsidy of 15 grand per child per day is part of the budget. Yeah. So, yeah.
But there is that collaboration between EPWP creating jobs by identifying where they can be a job and then deploy that within the institutions which have for that capacity, even if they don't fall under public work. But it's going to work better if we listen to the government. Because that's where this matters. If the statement of EPWP is done in collaboration with the government, can I therefore move to the government?
Thank you. Chair, three important points to me before I start with the presentation. I think the first question for the first thing is that we wanted to give the committee a broader view of NPO funding in housing. So that when you look into the specific questions that have been asked, the committee will then have a broader picture of NPO, but I'll be very short.
Yes, indeed, this could be in our application because this meeting has been indeed organized for you to actually help us understand well how housing organized. So you are free and that becomes us again. You know that you are in the practical platform where the money comes from. Thank you.
Thank you very much for my attention. The first question that I think comes to mind is as Gauteng provincial government can we do with much in terms of the budget? And I think the question is yes, and there is always a need for more resources to be allocated to the people. Second part, Honourable Chair, Mr. Rajibari presented that nationally there is a certain region that is spent on NPOs. And how the budget accounts for 84% of that 84 of that 7 billion that was presented earlier, which means our budget for the current financial year is 2.4 billion as a department. No, not as a department, for NPO funding only, not as a department. And the next important point is that NPO funding accounts for 55% of the total departmental budget in housing. So the allocation to NPOs is more than what we spend in terms of the normal operations of the department. So it's 55%. The last point to just reflect on is that we have got 11 childhood care and I'm reflecting that because that is part of services to children. And these 11 child education centers, which is a combination of the secure care, children's home, place of safety, and so forth, accounts for 392 million. I know, but this budget is not part of the people. This one comes from the normal operational budget. So I thought those three or four points, Honourable Chair, would be very critical to give a complete picture before I go to the actual presentation. I'm not going to touch on the slide of the legislation because I want to believe Honourable Members are very much caught up in terms of the legislative framework that informs the NPO budgeting. But let me go then into the actual budgeting. As I indicated, Honourable Chair, the total budget for NPOs in housing and social development is 2.4 billion. That is the allocation for the current financial year. It is broken in this way. Social welfare services receives 662 million for the current financial year, and this budget has grown from 597 million. So you can be able to see an increase over the last 2-3 years in terms of the specific program. Children and families, Honourable Member, account for 1.170 billion in terms of the total budget allocated. But you can also see that there is an upward trajectory in terms of the increase. But I think what is critical here is that this program takes the bigger chunk of the total budget allocation for NPOs in the Department of Social Development in Gauteng. The next budget will be restorative services, which includes conservation between empowerment, substance abuse, rehab. The total budget is 326 million and it has grown from 288 million in 2015-16. So there has been also a substantial increase in terms of the budget allocated for this program. The last component is on development and research. And there are also a number of programs that deal with children, the other programs that you're talking about. And for example, under the poverty alleviation program, we do provide nutritional support to children that are accommodated in ECDs and so forth. And the total budget is 283 million, and it's grown from 270 million since 2015-16 financial year. Now, just in total, in 2015-16, our budget was 2 billion and 95 million. It grew in 2016-17 to 2.2 billion, and this financial year it is 2.4 billion. So we have noted quite substantial increases over the last few years. And if I can take you back, Honorable Chair, to the year that after 1994, the NGO budget in housing and social development was around 400 million or so. No, 200 million. I think, yeah. It was around 200 million. And you could say, you know, over the last year that it has grown up to 2.4 billion. And we hope it will still be able to increase that if resources can be allocated by provincial treasurers and national treasurers. What has been the highlight, for our member, of our transfer in the last 2 years, for example? We have always ensured that we try as much as we can to give NPO inflationary increases of 6% over the last few years to try to mitigate the impact of inflation. We continue to implement innovative programs outside your normal programs, such as your welfare programs, for example. Such as your mobile ECD services, we are implementing independent living models for people with disabilities, we're dealing with active age programs and so forth. So we try as much as we can on our own, but to share the cake to make sure that we broaden our reach and the footprint of services that we provide through the NPO sector. The implementation of the ECD model has also been one of the critical interventions that we. Because housing started before even the model was introduced to train child and youth care workers to provide what is called community-based child and youth care work to address the skill shortages in the sector. Now what happens is that the child and youth care workers who are produced through the ACD model are employed in NPOs and the Department of Social Development does cater for their families in the NPOs. So there will be those challenges in care workers that are absorbed in our institution, but others are appointed in the NPOs and pay their salaries while they work for the NPOs. We also have various support programs tied to the ECD, such as standardized nutritional meals. Currently in housing, we have got about 100,000 children that are subsidized for ECD programs, and over 90,000 receive daily meals. These are children that are located in ECDs and they come from poverty and pocket for housing programs. We also support NGOs with occupational health and safety equipment because majority of them will be found wanting and they will not comply with the minimum requirements for registration and so forth. And we do provide them with equipment to do that. We have established a number of new facilities for all the residents across the housing province. And these are new facilities that are linked to daycare centers for all the residents. So when they go to their daily program, they are also exposed to new facilities and we do buy that equipment as part of supporting the older residents program. We also do minor renovations of NPOs, in particular, focusing on ECDs. Therefore, there's a lot of identified disabilities who do not meet the registration requirements. So what we do, we then allocate a budget as a province to make sure that we are able to assist them with final allocation so that they qualify, they meet the requirements of the for the municipalities to give them environmental health certificate, and then we are able to fund these cities. By the end of 2019, we are hoping to have renovated 500 cities that will then be registered. And in that, we will then be expanding access to these services and therefore improving universal access. We also do psychometric assessment of children because we have realized, for example, that a lot of children that come from poor communities will be affected by issues of poverty and malnutrition, which leads to stunting and underdevelopment generally. So we have had a situation where we did an assessment of children before they entered the program, and then we exposed them to nutritional support and other interventions, and after a while we assessed them again to check their level of development, whether it is improving or not. So we believe that that is a critical intervention that we have for children. Also, we deal with the expansion of sustainable livelihood programs such as Welfare to Work, where we target mothers of children that are receiving child support grant, and we bring them to sustainable livelihood programs with the hope that one day they will graduate from the grant system and become employed. We do distribute dignity packs on a quarterly basis. We distribute around 45,000 dignity packs every month, targeting young children in schools who may not be able to provide themselves with dignity packs, and because of that, the absence of support from school, you know, when they are hitting their children and so forth. We also have four food banks in Gauteng that are providing support, nutritional support to communities. The school uniform project is also one of our flagship programs. We are targeting the majority of the beneficiaries are young girls in schools. In the current financial year, we are targeting over 130,000 children that will receive school uniform from the department. This school uniform is produced by cooperatives, which are also contracted to the department. And we will be spending around 143 million for this financial year, that spending on cooperatives for the production of school uniform. And that in itself is helping us to break the cycle of poverty, because each cooperative will have an average of 10 people. This will be mothers, and by virtue of giving them this money, we contribute to breaking the cycle of poverty. We also deal with other social infrastructure projects that we construct. We have constructed ECDs, we have constructed daycare facilities for older persons and so forth. And once we have constructed this, we give them to NPOs to operate. So we will go into a particular area and build, for example, a 120 capacity ECD. Then we will combine all the small ECDs in that area and they run this prototype themselves, and we just give them funding and we hit up on the operational costs. And we have also seen a lot of requests for being our vulnerable chair in the last few years, because donor funding is high, you know, for NPOs, and majority of them that experience with that program would have closed down had the department not intervened through payment of bailout. So we got a number of NPOs that could have closed down, including welfare organization, which questions about which we have been now. The next slide is now related to Chandler in a particular area that the honorable member has questions. The first one, honorable chair, that for the 2018 financial year, how did we fund 122 welfare NPOs providing families with a budget of 127 million? The main subsidy goes towards the professionals, which is 22 social work managers, 99 social work supervisors, and 441 social workers, 237 auxiliary social workers. So within NPOs, we are funding or subsidizing a total of as service professionals who are located in NPOs. The second part is on post funding with related administrative costs, and in 2018 in annual rate of 6% increase that follows. For social work, managers, 238,000, supervisors, 200,000, social work, 157,000, and social work, 133,000, and admin cost per worker is 31,000. Over and above post funding. The department provides limited program funding focusing on professional psychological services to augment the existing social work. Why not fund this kind of services? I think without any good details, honorable chairperson, on this issue, and it goes back to the first question that I have posed before I started the presentation. With donor funding and the limited resources that the department has at the present time, it is still not yet possible to be able to fund digital services at 100%. I do not think that the department will even be able to the percentage that we are currently covering. But that is dependent on a number of factors. One is that the rate at which our budget is growing is not as fast as the rate at which donor funding is decreasing for the people. And as a result, as a department, we are forced to cover in on areas where donor funding is no longer visible or available, but the resources are not always permitting for us to be able to respond to that increase. And I think our commitment to that process is demonstrated by the fact that our total budget, 55% of that goes to NPOs. The operational cost of the department is only 45% of the total budget allocated. That has been a demonstration that we committed to making sure that we really improve funding of NPOs to that effect. I will stop the honorable chair, but to say that we wanted to give the committee a complete picture that beyond welfare organizations, there are lots of interventions that deal with children who may not necessarily be serviced through the NPOs that falls within the category of welfare NGOs, such as interventions from schools or from disability parents and state transit. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the input. But there is a document, honorable members, that contains the content of the petition. But looking at policy, which has been entirely responded by housing problems. But I do know that yes, and the amount they are talking about, the amount that these NGOs in water constituency that they think they can be funded, if they have calculated there is one water treatment on the panel. It will give us a sense as to whether what they are requesting is possible. But I also want to say, I have a little bit of advice with the text of the portfolio called, he only wanted this portfolio committee to respond to this manifestation. I told her that this is not a policy picture of South Africa, and we are national. Due to her own role, to insisted that I wish they would speak to tradition management. And I was actually arguing that if we do that, it means we are going to speak more than 1,000 times, responding to each province, each village, wherever this decision is made. If they have some infectious disease, it means you must go for out and give it priority. So I think all of the voters will understand why we invited the crop which is affected in the document, which is housing, and that the department has to do hard work in ensuring that they report only general and not the specific, and then move in to housing and further bring in housing to actually give us a provincial picture before going there. But I also insist that we can ask questions, but I think we need a full day discussing this matter. And we don't really, because there are so many programs that have come in, yet this fund was where there were no other activities, including GPWP and so on and so on. So I think Zion and that of wanting to say, now I am in university, I've got a health welfare center, and therefore doesn't see what other centers within university, even in one university, they will have different without any collaborative approach, which I think as government that funds, as the government that has the mandate to deal with children issues. Because if you look into the document, they start citing the constitutional rights of children. They start going on and on, tabulating what is done for children, what becomes their rights. And at the same time, they exclude the bigger picture of wanting to address constitutional obligations. And therefore, I will allow the members to ask clarity, but indeed request the very honorable member who is with us now because of his love for social development issues. I appreciate that. That has it never frustrated us. It makes us want to work more because that's why we don't say these are the issues of honorable voters. We are saying these are national issues. Let us engage. That's the reason why I am then trying to allow you to respond. I know that you might have not finished, but Peter White, I think we have seen what it is about. And I want to convey a clear message to your MEC that listen and trust us in that we must have time to bring you into national so that we can move in and understand each problem, that we empower other problems as well. Thank you very much. If we were hungry, I would say with your game. Let's do that.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the kind words and words.
Chair,
thank you for the kind words. It's always a pleasure to come here. But as we discussed in the previous season, this is a snapshot of what's happening around the country. It is from Ukraine where I'm from. That's why I focus on it, but it doesn't mean it's not happening anywhere else. And probably in Ukraine and Taipei, probably better resourced than anywhere else in the country, quite frankly. the more rural areas. So I think if this band is in context, you can imagine how bad it is elsewhere. But I just want to make a few comments. I'm not going to ask Kasteg any questions. And this is to the national and provincial departments. The fact is, we all recognize that the Constitution and the Children's Act dictate that the government has to provide a certain set of services for children, statutory services. And government has admitted that it's grossly underfunded. Right? Now, in this question that I asked the minister, and I won't go through them all, but let me just take some pieces of child welfare, because it is an impoverished area, not a rich area, where it's underfunded by 52%, right? And that actually is one of the lowest underfunding NGOs, right? And the minister says they've got to fundraise their own money to make up the difference. Now, in St. Peter, as many of you will know from Jesus, which you can't see, it's very difficult to fundraise in St. Peter because there's not that much disposable income. And on the Kasteg presentation, on the number of the page on number, but it says that, you have to do financial bailout to organizations due to financial distress due to the shrinking of donor funding. And that's right in our country. You know, we're not in a recession, we're teetering on one, and many companies don't have additional funding to fund the NGOs in the And that's right the entire country. And if NGOs in Kasteg are back in where there's the industrial heartland of this country, then you can understand how bad the other NGOs are struggling in more rural areas. And then, the chair's gone, but this could be related to it. It continues this sentence by saying, and particularly national lottery. And that's something this committee needs to engage with, is the trade and industry and the national lottery. Because they are not coming to the party as far as the funding of NGOs. There's massive delays in the awarding of funds. You can apply and wait up to 3 years or more for funding. And it's not even a annual, the National Lottery doesn't fund NGOs as a child welfare NGO every single year. They do it in phases. They, I think every 3 years or 4 years, they show life in a pass for funding from national lottery. And this also impacts on the financial feasibility of NGOs. So, I've got no question. You get money from national, you have to do with it what you get. You can't. You have no power to tax passing residents, so you can't do anything else. So it is up to national and to Treasury, with the pressure of this committee, to try and get more funding for services, for general services for the department, and particularly for child services, in order for us to fulfill our legal obligation to the Child Care Act and the Constitution. And that's all I actually want to say. And then to Chair,
thanks a lot, Honourable Wilson. very much. Thank you, Chair. One of my concerns with AMPA's in this report is we talk about the disparity between provinces. And I come from Limpopo province, which is one of the poorest provinces around. But just to give you an example, I have a place called Slum Sekan. It's a docking centre in Ward 5 on Marple Village. Now, 2 years ago, they were being funded for 150 children and 5 workers at that docking centre. Last year, with no explanation, the funding dropped for 120 children. They thought that would be paid for 5 workers. This year, without any explanation, it was dropped to 80 children and only 4 workers were being covered. Now, that is an astronomical drop in 2 years. But to look at that explanation, keeping in mind that the 150 children who attend those schools, it is the only meal those children get in every day. That is literally, in those very poor, very rural years, the only real meal that children get every day. So the disparity between the provinces is a concern. My trade issue, I think if we go into the details of every province, we're going to find even more alarming statistics. What are we doing to get this more in line? And you know, we need to go, when we've got a situation like this dropping center, without any explanation, without any oversight on those areas, they just get a letter from someone on the list of the sorry for you. We need to do something very seriously and very urgent to get norms and standards and to get structures in place that everybody is treated particularly in the poorer areas. And my other concern is the statutory services. It has become common knowledge that lots of welfare organisations, particularly those dealing with statutory services, i.e. orders from the court, investigating rape, investigating child molestation, investigating child abuse, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. The welfare organisation that covers us and dealt with us has closed because they can no longer keep their doors open because of that funding. Those cases are now put on the agenda in provincial social welfare offices, where there's an insufficient number of social welfare workers to deal with them. The end result is we've got an awful lot of people out there suffering tremendously, and this is another issue. Welfare services play a huge and critical role in stabilizing and assisting communities. They are closing. So I will back my colleague and I say we need to do something about the funding. And welfare is a problem. And I know, I'm a chairperson of NPO myself. We've been trying to fund it, fundraising of what keeps us alive, and we just cannot get the donor funding that we used to anymore. We're in an economic crunch, and there's a lack of, not a lack of compassion, but there's a donor funders are withholding things because there's a lack of confidence in where we stand at the moment because they're willing to give us some money, but we can't give you money if you're not going to be open in 3 months from now. If we give you money, we want to ensure that you're going to be open in the long term, and we cannot guarantee getting money from the department. So I think those are issues that seriously need to be taken.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank
you. Thank you for the presentation. Yes, we hear overall board say that we need to fund less but more. Although we need more, we need more funds. And importantly, that we must find a way to raise funds to be effective with our own county. And when I hear the community speak about the institutional department, some say, yes, you do their funding. They need to struggle. So, my question is, how do you assist when they do not comply? You also mentioned that you assist with the renovations. Now, I have a question before we now go to the committee. that do you investigate that who the property belongs to, or the containers, or the everything? Because some people feel that they do benefit the property owner, that the next day when you fight them, while others do an excellent job, and they do not benefit because all the premises where they are. So my question is, what criteria do you use when you do assist people, especially in gold renovation? Also, the salary, the complaint in the community is that, I didn't believe it, but now you said it. Yes, some NPOs get to fund the salary, and while others get to fund. And you find that the NPOs do not continue because they cannot cope with the salary. So what criteria do you use when you start paying salary for certain NPOs? Then also, if you can, 11 child youth centers, we are the institution leaders in the province. If you cannot the child come, send us a list of breakdowns so we can know in our own position where they are. And co-ops, do you monitor the co-ops, what monitoring system do you have? And if they don't comply, what is the action that you take? Well, the intention is to produce when you have co-ops the manufacturing uniform. You find if you have an oversight where we visit the co-op many sizes, and we got there and we looked at the label, we weren't very impressed. Do you monitor that check and see that this co-op has really gone to the whole of it? Yes. Same brand, label.
Wow.
And so they can sustain the whole. So the census, you find them to have the co-op manufacturing, and they issue the hard work purchases. It's very important. We want to see these things in the community happening. Also, I think between two welfare NGOs, if you can have a little bit later perhaps, how is this distributed in the province? Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your answer. Anyone else that would like to ask a question? What I like, it's a concern actually of myself. I hope I'm not picking the basic education report on the because it was reported to me as the one that in the board areas we have our early childhood development centers, but then only partial subsidies. If there are 60 learners, children, only 35 of that subsidized. And I think it was brought up while on the whole world not speaking. So let us hear, you know, if it's relevant to do something like that. Because I'm sure they'll have a recommendation on it in their report. Thanks a lot. I'll hand over to the acting chief. Thank you.
So,
yes. $1 million. And the first end in
the Apostolic Faith Mission, you serve them through
we have partnered with them to support us through their program of capacity, institutional capacity building. Then they support our NPOs, and then we said because of quite a number of NPOs that are funded by the department, they have partnered with them so that they start with those that are funded, so that they do comply with the different aid, because the compliance department found they for dual registration, like the DCP we registered in terms of the Children Act, and then we have to register as well in terms of the NPO Act. Then the compliance in terms of the producing of the quarterly report, the documentation in terms of the financial government, mainly is where the problem is. But mainly those NPOs that have got challenges in terms of compliance. Some are those that are emerging NPOs, because they need a lot of support and to be mentored until they are able to manage their books and other management related matters. Each basic issues of how to manage meetings, how to keep records and so on. Because imagine if you are using state funds and you can't keep records when you can't do an important account, then that's where the problem is. But it is our responsibility to ensure that we support them, those emerging ones. Mostly they are in people like they were. So there are those that are well off and those that are still emerging. So most of the time we do encourage those that are well off to also support and mentor the emerging ones. My colleagues will respond especially on the issues of how we subsidize the NPOs, the issues of government standards, and then those areas that are the digital ones that are my data, we need to ensure that the staff may be to support. But I do like Honorable members, the recommendation by Honorable Walter to say we comments and assist in terms of ensuring that we get more funding through the treasury so that we are able to reach those areas, especially if we can meet our statutory mandate for those NGOs that we cannot find by the service hours, the honorable member was a referring to. Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Because
majority of our issues are located in our townships in private schools. So if we are not going to assist in improving that service within the township, what we simply say is that we must then remove the children to go elsewhere. The parents cannot afford, so we cannot also ignore the fact that those children need to be supported, need to be protected by the state and so forth. So we try to balance the two and say that we do not want to do major renovations to improve an individual's contact. We only do minor renovations just to make sure that the children can be protected and they can exist in a safe environment. The issue of salaries. We do across all the NPOs support payment of salaries, not just for social workers but also for administrative positions. We do have a lot of expanded public works beneficiaries in the province. In the last financial year, 2015-16, for example, we reprioritized a lot of money to try and comply with the federal definition for the expanded public works program. We find imbalance for child education workers, we find imbalance for social workers. So we do have different categories of caregivers or workers within the NPOs that we support families for. And we are increasing that on an annual basis. To deal with this situation and but people are not paying what I would say about the amount of salaries we pay. I think if I was to say people are happy, I would be lying to the community. Currently the challenge that we have and which communities are dealing with us is that there is now the program the minimum wage that was recently pronounced, I think it's 3.5. And now we have to reconcile what is called a ministerial determination amount vis-a-vis the minimum wage as pronounced. Because the ministerial determination presents a lower entry level, yet the minimum wage presents something else. And we have been approached by community members to say which one should come first. The minimum wage that must preside over all, or the ministerial determination is a separate issue altogether. But those are discussions that must ensue in matters of labor and then let fractures and so forth. All cooperatives, Honorable Chair. The issue of cooperatives is an ongoing process because some of the cooperatives have to be trained, they have to be developed for them to be able to participate actively in this community process. We have partnered with, for example, graduates that are coming from the design and the schools and so forth to build capacity of these NPOs. I agree with Honorable Member that in certain instances the issues of quality, we find that we need to improve on those. But majority of our communities have really graduated into the stage where we can produce beautiful uniforms for our schools. Let me also say that the cooperatives that we use for school uniforms, we are currently now also exposing them to supply chain management entire processes where they are able to have services such as your catering, your gardening and so forth in our in-ground facilities. And we believe that by doing that we are actually graduating them from dependency, of the school uniform home, but they can also go into basic kind of processes that they can compete anywhere else one of the skills has been built. The last issue, Honorable Chair, is on engagement with NPOs because it is a critical component. The NDC for Social Development in Gauteng, on an annual day, before she does the budget speech of the department, she does consultation sessions with NPOs. They raise their issues. And the outcome of such discussions are able to shape you know, the allocation of resources and then what priority areas to look into. Currently, as I'm saying now, the NDC is busy crisscrossing the province, engaging with NGOs, and we are dealing with a lot of issues that honorable members have raised today. So engagement and continuous communication, we find it to be helpful because people understand where we are as impact. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, beautiful presentation, but it all boils down to this country was a family on transition. But transition is difficult because you deal with it. There's no stoppage in what you are doing. Why do you want to do this differently? For example, if I know that it is a transition, it is a norm. It has become our label that we have been working with the NGOs. Because we were not represented in the previous government. And therefore, for this country to fund NGOs to stand on behalf of those who are concerned. And we must know that there's one budget. And that one budget for the country. That budget has been the one to pay for the thousands of members of parliament that were not supposed to be members of parliament. They are forming part of additional members who represent communities that were represented by NGOs. Today we've got something that was never there in rural areas, local government. I do know in my town there were three people there. It was four councillors. World Wide Men and the Secretary, only that was running that smaller in that town. But today we can talk about stage two, counselors, administration, management, all these people are a resource to look after these people. If you look into what happens in local municipalities, you look into the ex-co or mayoral body, there are people who are doing disaster. Community safety. All the things that DSP is doing alone, they also do them all. Provincial. So I think there is a way of where we stay to collaborate. And also the issue of the invading NGOs. We must know exactly that if somebody is going to negotiate that, parliamentarians must be reduced. Every would you want for it to say no. Because the problem is that we are then asking what we want to do. So even if we talk about some other rationalization of things, they want because we believe directly to them, not the beneficiaries of that particular thing. And you can't do it as a department only. It requires all us and social development. It requires a broader corner to say, are we still ready to stay? Because one other thing that one affected my understanding of what I want to do is a very, very important thing applied from the city and then got thousands. If not millions. You know what they did? The NGO. They renovated an old school called Soman, which was rationalized by government. They had Pigali, they were all these buildings were actually labeled Pigali, Soman, what was in form of cooperative. First thing that we bought. To move around the furniture. And when we calculated, there was 0% that was to service our people. We must be very, very careful. If we actually allocate funds for agriculture, we must calculate how much goes to one farm. Probably 20% or nothing. So this issue needs to be
openly to judgment. And I think this approach of not wanting to call you and meet with the complaining NGO being facilitated by the constituency office of a particular honorary, the next MP is going to do the same. The next MP, and you will forget what you stand for. That's our second delivery. And we need to remain. I think it's a transformation issue, but your presentation has empowered this committee to begin to want to keep this matter. How much comes from a particular department? For example, if we have not made that this life, we have done this scope as an honorary member to sit under one more in a formal joint sitting with education in order to understand what's happening to ECGC. We need a formal sitting with ECGC and the portfolio committee, co-chaired and assisted by it. Because it does seem that the social development is supposed to look into food, health is supposed to look into health, education, but public health infrastructure at the same time, we don't have who is actually accountable for the existence. For example, I hear you when you say we support them to ensure that they comply with basic requirements. However, the fact that one day that they attend, because they were seen as part of a sort of family. My younger has gone there, my water has been there, my daughter has there, and there is no region that says in between them. And there are areas where there's none. You can go to the hotel, that's still a very clear honorable report. That they will be concentrated in a particular area. Go for money, and then it ends up being funding going into a woodsy village. And in another area, absolutely absent of such things. And to an extent that even after it was, accompanied to a day together. Because they are concentrated there. And those people continue to demand that you find them, irrespective of where you saw the actual people there. So I think it's not your fault, it's not our fault, it's a dynamism of a society improving all the things, and we need to be always addressed. Thank you very much, Honorable Water, for raising the next chapter. Thank you very much for the department to take keen interest in meeting these requests or petitions honestly and also coming clean as to what they have been in the portfolio committee meeting for putting aside time to deal with that. And I was about to close by saying, because you come from Houghton, I will have sympathy for this.
My question, thank you. I think, as you said, I'm from Houghton. I want to make it that to the people of Houghton too. My question is from an hour or time that's giving us the issue of immunity. Will it be for the department maybe to forward us the information about COVID as a whole in terms of the organization that you are planning? Can you please break it as for us, like your Ekurhuleni, your Johannesburg, your Free Market, and basic financial, and say it can come back to Baran Kosovo. So if you go to Free Market, it is very important. Very. So my focus would like to very much, especially if you could draw the text of the moon of Bank of the Market on the country. This exercise of education, it might not only lead to the improvement area and the department for favor. And I
you will have other information, not only the paper, or whether the petition was in a good way. So you can deal with the issues of Johannesburg or, for example, the assistant. So can we get that information so that Chamberlain is required of me, maybe not only to be housing and putting the other provinces in court which have been taken from there. If we get that information.
Thank you very much for your input. I indeed have said there when I was reporting that it has actually created a need for provinces to have this support. For the DFD to bring to provinces. For example, I'm a good learner. I know that in the Department of Agriculture, when the season opens for cropping, they call all the provinces to come and report their state of business. And I do believe that we also wanted Magdalena to have an opportunity identify for each province, and we are going to use our own wish for oversight to listen to each province on good security. That from Monday, all provinces to be in a queue to give us information about good security, and also to give us information about the state of business towards the state in ECG arrangements. But we need, therefore, to collaborate with these other departments that have something to do. I think the old method of visiting villages, wherever, it does take a lot of time, but it doesn't give us a bigger picture. If we go to the state, we can go to identify projects. And when we are there, we see those projects only. We don't have a bigger picture. But if the department were to come, have a screen at this one, and go to town as represented by one of the reports, that in Israel, in wherever area, this is what is happening, it will help us because we will see gaps. We will see inequality, then we develop priorities going forward. I think it's very nice to be able to know what you're talking about, to have information. So you have assisted us helping to actually remind us that you will also give budget to you. It's not only that you will be in one and we have the FO, but we also do take a enough time that you need to visit us like here. So we will send you as well for us to know that a number of people are going to be they actually are good senses that we visit. Thank you so much. And if members have any one last word before I declare the meeting closed. Who has their own floor, the Kemal. Please make it short because other than the is going to
I just want a quick clarity because the 6 years of strategy going forward is that they want to reduce the reliance on the NPO sector for such a service and the one to incorporate so that the bottom stays on the function. But I didn't get that understanding from what was being said, so I just want to make sure what is the official strategy to reduce your mind on the other one is to base the whole thing on
time. I'm more related to that question because one of the things we uncover when we do oversight to NGOs and various of the problems of news and careers is that we find a situation where because DFT is paying, it's a finance. There are definitely instances where, because the DFT is funding, they believe that they have the right to tell the NGOs who they will employ. And I know that because it's just happened to me a number of program where I chair a PGO, and we are being instructed to vote for it. And they've given us a specific name. But we are led by a board of government. I'm just the chair of the board. I don't make decisions on my own. It's not the first time it's happening, and I think the department needs to be very, very aware of that, because it is going to create a huge problem, because now they're going to be taking their balance in place.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think that we have a thing that is done for you. Someone will order them.